listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Brian Hazy, O'Doug, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. We're going to catch up with Tim Leiwicki, the former president and CEO of Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. A guy that's getting a lot of credit recently and deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, hired Masai, the big guns.
Absolutely. Hired Brendan Shanahan.
Famous comment, the Raptors are going to be more popular than the Leafs in 10 years. You wait. That was maybe, who knows? We'll ask him about it, though.
Bit
you
know, rich.
Like I was saying the other day, what I hope does happen, because it's always been it's been kind of tribal in Toronto with the sports scene, because the Leafs have been here for so long. Mm-hmm. And then the Jays came around, and then it was the Raptors. And then you've got the Argos, who have actually been here longer than anybody else. And now it's TFC. For whatever reason, everyone, there are certain fans within each fan base that feel like they get jobbed by the media.
Yeah.
They don't get enough attention. They don't get enough respect.
Right.
And as a result, they start hating on the other teams or the other fans.
Yeah, instead of embracing them and kind of having a crossover.
Right.
Like you get the competition between each other.
I understand you're going to have your favorites. I'm not saying that you got to love every team equally. Of course not. But, hey, if the Raptors have success, why would you be bitter about that if you're a Maple Leaf fan?
Right.
Or a TFC fan? And if the Leafs have success, why would you be bitter about that if you're the Raptors? Or if you're a TFC or Blue Jay or Argo fan, why not just embrace it all and get to celebrate it all? That's the beauty of being a Toronto sports fan.
You're right. TFC and Argo fans are frustrated because they don't get as much, I guess, quote-unquote love.
Mm-hmm.
Because we actually, on the show, we're guilty of it. With the big three, right? We got hockey,
absolutely,
baseball, and basketball. But doesn't mean you don't care about the Argos. Doesn't mean you don't care about TFC. They're just not as front and center.
And, they've had parades recently. It didn't obviously replicate what happened yesterday.
Correct.
The big three are going to just take up more of the oxygen and attract more of a fan base and more coverage.
Right.
And I think it'll be fascinating to see how the Raptors are covered next year. And I think a lot of it hinges on what happens with Kawhi Leonard. I think if Kawhi decides to return, the Raptors are going to get more coverage than they ever have before.
Right.
And people are going to be so attracted to the idea of them repeating. Mm-hmm. And really, instead of some people, a lot of people just jumped on the bandwagon, even in the finals, let alone against Milwaukee or Philly or against Orlando. I think you're going to see a lot more people engaged in the sport, in the team, feel a connection to the team because they've gotten to know these guys a lot better. So they're going to be there from day one. If Kawhi decides to leave, it's going to have a very different feel because the anticipation won't be there for them to repeat.
The one and done narrative will just be like, okay, thanks for that. That was fun.
Yeah, I mean.
And winning a title probably isn't realistic, obviously, without Kawhi Leonard.
Without Kawhi Leonard on the team. Unless. Is there any free agent or any player that could replace Kawhi Leonard in the offseason?
No, because they're not going to have the cap space. Even if he leaves, they just are not going to be able to go out there and give a max contract to any of these guys.
Okay.
They can do it with their own players, and they can go into the luxury tax, and they will.
Right.
And they're going to be willing to pay that tax, but you're not going to be able to replace him with Jimmy Butler or Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving, not that you would.
Right.
But, no, I think if Kawhi ends up leaving, you're looking at Lowry, Siakam, Gasol, Van Vliet, Ibaka, Norman Powell, OG Anunoby being healthy. That's your core.
Right.
And I think that's good enough to be a playoff team, but I don't think anyone's going to be picking them to win a championship.
No.
So it's going to take on a very different complexion, and it's going to be a very different approach to the team. But, again, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Everyone in Toronto hopeful that Kawhi will stay. We'll find out.
Well, let's see how it unfolds.
But it's been a blast regardless.
There's nothing you can do about it. We've said it for weeks now. You've done everything that Kawhi could have asked for. You deliver a team that he can win with, he wins. You take care of his mind, his body, everything. You embrace him as a city, as a fan base. Like now,
I'm just curious what that, we talked about it yesterday. I'm curious what the winning did for him. Is it, okay, I really didn't know about Toronto. I didn't really want to go there, and I got you a championship, so now leave me alone. I'm going to go do my own thing. Or is it, I won the championship. I feel like I can do it again. I love it there, and I'd like to stay. That's all I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Because there's only one of the two things.
You're right.
It's that easy.
It is that easy.
I didn't pick Toronto. I got sent there. I did my job. I got you a championship. Now, don't ever bother me again. I'm never walking out of the house and wearing a jacket. I'm going to do my own thing, or I got to go back there because I want to do it again.
Yeah.
It's one of the two. So
two options.
And he's picking him within 2 weeks.
Who's this? Is it Uncle Dennis? Uncle Dennis is kind of, I mean.
He looks like he's having a good time.
I was
going to
say, their family looked like they were having a pretty good time.
Apparently, Kawhi and his family are down in Niagara Falls today. They're getting all the tourism in.
Yeah.
Which I've never really understood how Niagara Falls is connected to a Toronto visit.
Well, it's an hour away.
And plus, there's a Canadian side.
Yeah, no, but my point is, it's always, if you come to Toronto, like, that's a part of the advertisement. Come to Toronto, and then you can, if you're here for a week, you go a day trip down to Niagara Falls. But does that happen elsewhere? Like,
honestly, I don't know. Being from the outside.
You go to Vegas, you go to Grand Canyon, or the Hoover Dam. Hoover Dam. It's an hour away.
Is that a part? I've never heard of. I guess it happens.
Being from not from
Toronto.
Why would
you go to Vegas and want to go to the Hoover Dam if you're in Vegas?
Well, no. Some people go to the Chicken Ranch, which is an hour away.
That's a different story.
You go to Los Angeles. The San Diego is an hour away.
Yeah.
Shoot down there for a day.
Disneyland. You go down to Disneyland, which is in Anaheim.
I got you.
I'm not from Toronto, and I can tell you if you
go to the hotel bar and that's all you do.
No, I experience the city is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you go to the Hockey Hall of Fame. You go to the Harbor Front. You know, if you spend a week in Toronto and you're not from here, absolutely, you can do a ton of stuff.
I was in Los Angeles. I went to Nobu up in Malibu. That was an hour and 20 minutes. So
everything.
Driving through Malibu and stuff was a part of the program when we went to L.A.
Niagara is a part of it. Like, to answer your question, if I came out east from visiting from Edmonton or Calgary, wherever I was living.
Got to get to Niagara Falls.
But you go to Niagara, you want to go to Vineyards. You want to, like, it's not just Niagara Falls. It's the Vineyards. There's gambling.
Yeah. Oh, listen, I've got nothing against Niagara. And I'm not saying, listen, I don't care. It's your trip. It's your life. Do whatever you want.
But you think it's just packaged in with
Toronto. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a package deal.
Okay, well, here's...
It's Toronto and Niagara Falls. Please come and celebrate both cities.
But here's the thing that... you think Kawhi and Uncle Dennis and his and everyone else that's with him are just going to walk around Toronto? They get mauled.
Although I don't think he can get away with that in Niagara Falls either. I would think he's got to have some security or something down there.
I'm sure. He's a very recognizable face anywhere in Canada right now.
And he's 6'8 or whatever. Yeah. You can't miss him.
But what I'm saying is it's probably a little bit less or more subdued down in Niagara than it would be here where they had a parade with 2 million people because of him yesterday.
Absolutely. So, and when you're down in Niagara, you're focused on the falls.
Yeah.
You're not focused on other people.
They're not going to Eaton Center and just walk in Eaton Center and going to eat at the food court.
No. He's been there. He's done that.
Yeah. Maybe.
I don't know. Maybe he's never been there.
Like, I don't know. Maybe we haven't paid attention that much, but, like, were there people that saw Kawhi out in public quite often? I'm sure he had his favorite restaurant. I'm sure he had a grocery store that he frequented.
He had to be on the way home and his girlfriend.
I know some people connected to the downtown area, and I don't know one whisper of one restaurant.
Well, I don't
one
believe.
One sushi place, one steakhouse, one anything.
I hate to get into the whole property game because it can be dangerous. Right. My understanding is he lived in North Toronto. So he didn't
North
live
York
downtown.
Area, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So,
By the way, I have no idea what that game plan is. Your practice facility is the west of the city.
Probably
like Lakeshore and Jameson.
Closer to the airport, in and out. Would they fly out of the chart? Would they fly out of the
I don't know.
Right?
Just from I know the practice rink at MasterCard Center, I don't know why anybody would want to live there.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No way.
But didn't you say Masai lived in that area?
Yeah.
I don't care who lives in that. I don't know why. Like, to me, it's just Etobicoke is like gold land right there.
Yeah, or one of the condos right by Scotiabank. And you just walk into the stadium.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's a 5-minute drive to the MasterCard
Center. Yeah, you get on the Gardner, you're there in 5 minutes.
But maybe he doesn't want to live in a condo. Like, that's the thing.
I just don't know when you're trying to recruit somebody saying, come live way up here by the 401, but everything else is... I just don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't really.
But that's close to the bridle path, too, right? Like, that's
who cares?
Well, I'm saying, like, Drake and those guys and Tannenbaum and, like, they all have places up there. Like, you want to live in the, isn't that the richest area in Toronto?
I don't care. There's rich areas in Etobicoke, too. That's where
You can get big spots all over the
obviously,
city.
Obviously, but I'm saying, like, that is the cream of the crop of this area, is it not?
It can be.
Sounds like
Rosedale, Forest Hill,
yeah.
Bridal Path.
Yeah.
There's a couple different spots. It's all good.
I don't live there.
Me neither.
You don't live there.
Make no mistake. None of us live there.
Yes.
This guy might have lived there, though.
Yes, I would imagine.
He could have lived probably anywhere in Toronto when he was here.
Yeah.
The former president and CEO of MLSC and now the CEO of Oakview Group. First time we've caught up with him in a long time. Here's Tim Lywicki. How you doing, Tim?
I didn't live there either.
Where were you living in Toronto?
The subways.
What?
But that was when they were working. I heard you shut them all down yesterday. The
TTC.
The Raptor fans overwhelmed them.
Did you get a chance to watch the parade yesterday? If so, what was running through your mind?
So I actually hate to admit this. I was in a board meeting for Seattle NHL all yesterday, working on the team up here. And so I didn't get to really see much until I got home and was able to look at the highlights. And it was just shocking, amazing, wonderful, great for Toronto, great for Canada, 2 million people, and just an amazing outpouring of support. And to think at the end of the day that 6 years ago when Masai came and sat down and the first words out of his mouth is, "We will win in Toronto," no one quite believed him. And the audience, you know, what's even more shocking is half of the country watched the finals.
Tim, when you first brought him in here, I know that there's, you know, he's made some comments, some promises, and they're kind of loud, and people are like, "Oh, well, we'll see what happens here." When you talked to him, what about him kind of made you think that this guy's a special guy and that he can do? I mean, he's getting a lot of credit for the transactions he's pulled off and making this happen. What about when you interviewed him made you think that this guy could maybe do something special?
Well, anyone that spends any time with Masai knows that he cares just as much about Giants of Africa and Basketball Without Borders and the charity work and the community work and kids that are in need. He's an amazingly passionate man. He knew Toronto because of his time here. He knew that we had an opportunity to make this the most important franchise in the NBA because it's the only true international franchise in the NBA. And he understood that it was a bit of a crusade to say, "Hey, look, I'd like basketball to be just as important as hockey. Everyone laughs at us. How do we go do that?" And I think that he wasn't afraid of that. He immediately said, "Here are the things we need to do." But, you know, those were deep, dark, tough days at first because we had to let go of a lot of people. I remember we let 14 people go. We had to go through a change in leadership. We had to make some tough decisions on the culture. He brought in Bobby. Bobby was one of the smartest young men I've ever met in sports. You could ask Bobby Webster, any player in the NBA today, and he will have an instant recall on the contract, the terms, and the hit on the collective bargaining agreement of every player in the NBA. And he put together the rest of the staff. Jeff Weltman, who's now down in Orlando, was there. He was amazing at recruiting the best minds. Very entrepreneurial group, and everyone had kind of a mission and a purpose of overcoming what I think was an amazing, I don't want to say it was underestimated, but I don't think anyone ever thought basketball can draw an audience that is substantially greater than what the Stanley Cup did this offseason, or this playoff season.
With Tim Lywicki, when you first got here, you didn't make the massive changes right off the bat publicly. I'm sure you were doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, but eventually you reached a point where you decided the Maple Leafs need a complete overhaul, the Raptors need a complete overhaul, TFC needs a complete overhaul. How difficult was it to get to that point? You mentioned all the people you had to let go. As the president and CEO, now obviously they're all paying dividends. You're not here to celebrate in that, but how difficult was it to go through that process?
Well, I don't care how many times you've done it, and I've been doing this for 40-plus years. It's never easy letting people go and affecting their lives and ultimately telling them that you want to go in a different direction and you don't think that they can help take you there. So the Raptors were the first one. We let 14 people go pretty quickly. And we brought in Masai, and it was tough. But I promised him that, we'd do what we had to do to clean it out first, because I didn't want Masai to inherit that. Lord knows he had his work cut out for him on changing the culture and the tough decisions he had to make. But he came in and found a bunch of really good, smart young people that added what I like to call juice to the equation, and they were not afraid. And we went from an organization where we had 100 reasons why we weren't going to win. We couldn't get ESPN up here, so the players didn't like it. Our family members couldn't get up here because of issues with immigration and passports and getting into the country. The weather was cold, the winter was long, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I never heard one excuse from the moment Masai built his team out and they began to build this vision. And I think that is Masai's greatest attribute, and for me, the biggest dynamic that he introduced into the Raptors, which is his positive mental attitude of saying, we will win in Toronto. And he did.
With Tim Leiwicki, if you were still here and you got a chance to sit down with Kawhi Leonard, what would your pitch be?
2 million people love you. Half a country watched you. You're not going to have it any better than here. You don't have to ultimately be something you're not comfortable being, and you're not going to find a city that's any better anywhere in North America or the NBA than Toronto. It's the greatest city in North America, the greatest fans in North America. And now you're the one team and the only team in the NBA that represents an entire country. No one has 36 million fans except for the Toronto Raptors.
Do you sense that that resonates with players? Like the whole, it's one thing Toronto, but the whole Canadian angle, you know, does it really work on players?
I don't know how anyone takes that parade route yesterday and turns into that square and sees that throng of happy people. And let's not let the incense of one or two knuckleheads ultimately take away from the 2 million people that did come out and celebrate with sheer joy in their heart. And how you, to me, if you look at that scene and you interact for what turned out to be 6 hours, that's a long interaction.
Right.
I think you kind of step back and go, can this happen anywhere else in the NBA? How unique is this? And so I just think this is, I think We the North is not just a marketing campaign. I think it's a movement. And he right now is the one that kind of took that movement to the Holy Grail. Be hard to go find that kind of environment, that kind of relationship, and that kind of passion with this amount of pure fan base that you have in Canada. You can't find that with any other franchise. But he's earned the right to make a decision. God bless him. He certainly came in and did what he had to do for Toronto. And I think no matter what he does, he's always going to be he should be Saint Leonard now for what he did. It was amazing to see the passion of that country unleashed like that team did. Good for them. I'm really, really happy for Kyle. I saw him go through the building process and then losing his best friend. I think that man showed great grace, great dignity, and unbelievable competitive spirit. So there's a lot of key players on that team, and hopefully Masai could keep them intact.
With Tim Leiwicki, you mentioned We the North, which has been a resounding success as a campaign that everyone has gravitated to up here. And I think people throughout the NBA, when they hear it, they know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah. You were a part of that. Can you take us behind the scenes? Who came up with that? When did you know that was exactly what it should sound like, the We the North campaign?
So first of all, the Seattle NHL team's now We the Northwest. So I just want you guys to know we trademarked that.
You can have that. That's cool.
So it was really the marketing team. So Shannon and the group of executives at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment were the best group of executives I ever had the privilege of working with. They were phenomenal. And so it was Sid Lee and Shannon and Dave Hopkinson and Jeff DeLine and Tom Pastore. That group really put it together. Masai and I saw it. And we set the tone for them, and what we told them is we need to change the culture. Here are all the reasons why people tell us we're not going to succeed. We'll put that on our shoulders, wear it as a chip, and let's come back and take all the negatives and turn them into positives and have an arrogant attitude. And I know both Masai and I probably caught some flack at the beginning because we were aggressive in our pronouncements and our passion. But I think that agency and those group of executives captured that and figured out a way to proudly wear a chip on our shoulders and talk about, I get the rest of the league has discounted us. I get at the end of the day, no one thinks we could win here. And I get at the end of the day, everyone forgets we're part of the NBA. I love it. So let's go build on that. And then add in the influence of Drake, who definitely was already, we hadn't named him officially the ambassador, but he was already working with us on helping us change the culture, making it a desirable place for players to come and play, but more importantly, making it a franchise that every fan in Canada wanted to support. So it's to the credit of the executives of Maple Leaf Sports, and it's to the credit of Sid Lee, and it's to the credit of Drake. They were the inspiration.
Well, it's certainly taken on a life of itself up here in Toronto and throughout the country, and I think a lot of people in Toronto realize all the work that you put in, so I guess we can thank you on behalf of all their fans, and best of luck with everything going on in Seattle, and I'm sure we'll catch up again down the road. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, and by the way, grateful to Toronto. It was three of the best years of my life. Could not be more proud of the great city of the Raptors and of Canada. Miss everybody up there, and we'll see you soon with our hockey team in Seattle.
You got it. We're looking forward to it.
Cheers.
There's Tim Lewicki, who's a man behind the scenes with Seattle, and that NHL team's coming quickly.
You know, he's not wrong what he said, like we were bullish, a little bit arrogant, him and Masai, because he's the one who's like, that we've planned the parade route already.
Oh, yeah, they came right
and
out.
And he took heat for it.
They had to change their mentality here.
Right.
Like, that was a big part of it. And he did it with the Leafs and TFC, and hey, let's stop pretending like we're just an outpost, and let's go out there and put forth an aura of success, even though we haven't had it.
Right.
But, you know, Kawhi said that yesterday on the parade float. Like, when did you know you could win a title? He said, in training camp, you have to instill that belief.
Yeah.
Same thing in business. You've got to believe you can get there. You're never going to get there.
Yeah.
And Tim Lewicki is a guy who's been gone for a couple of years, but man, did he put forth a blueprint
and plant
some seeds that have just blossomed beautifully in Toronto.
If you look at his bio, like it's quite impressive. Like
he's worked everywhere, every league. He's a hired gun.
It's like if somebody needs to build something or starting something up, and that's why Seattle, they were probably one of his first phone calls. We got to call Tim Lewicki.
Yeah, and he'll get it done. But, like, this is, he's a bull in a China shop.
Listen,
which is impressive.
When he got here, TFC was a disaster.
Yeah.
They won a title.
Yeah.
The Raptors were a disaster.
In going out and getting Javinko.
Absolutely. Even before that, Jermaine Defoe, which didn't really work out, but still, it was like, here
big
we are.
Big splash. Here we go. Let's throw some money around. Let's get it done.
Let's pretend like we're one of the big boys. We're going to act like it. And then the Maple Leafs, you know, they've had a huge transformation.
Absolutely.
Before and after he got here and after he left. Bob McKenzie, your hockey insider on the Carlson deal, the Trouba trade, the draft coming up. Where's the cap going to be at, and how will that affect the Maple Leafs and the business that they're hoping to pull off in the next couple of weeks? So we'll get to our hockey insider, Bob McKenzie, next. All right, so the Rolling Stones are coming to Southern Ontario June 29th. The Stones are taking over Burrows Creek Event Grounds. I don't think they'll play this song. It's a tough song to play live.
You think so?
One of the all-time great tracks, so. Yeah, I don't think they'll play this live.
I think Mulls is looking back there saying, I can play that.
No, you cannot play this. I guarantee you, you can't play this. This riff is one of the all-time great riffs.
This is Keith Richards just going to work.
Just making it happen. Anyway, Stones are going to be here on June 29th, and we have a pair of tickets to give away every day this week and next week on Overdrive. Doesn't get any bigger or better than that. Giving away free tickets to go see the Stones. Phone lines are open. 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. Kawhi Leonard wears number 2.
Yes.
The second caller in at 416-870-1050. Is picking up today's free pair of tickets to go see the Rolling Stones.
I like it.
The Grappler will be picking up the phones
right
now.
They're burning up.
Burning up.
Burning up the phone lines.
Let's go, Rolling Stones. We went.
We went.
Yeah, I've got zero response from
Blues. Play it from the top, please.
Yeah, let's play the whole clip.
I got it. I love it so much.
Stanley Cup for this city. There is no. nothing more they have to do. So instead of saying, let's go Blues, we're going to say, we went Blues. We went Blues.
I love that.
Went Blues.
There's nowhere left to go.
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere because
no
you've
more
already
go
went
Blues go.
No.
We went.
We went Blues.
I wonder
we went Blues.
If Craig Berube wins Coach of the Year, I wonder if Brett Hall will present him on stage in Vegas.
Well, our main man, Bob McKenzie, is down in Vegas right now, and maybe you can confirm or deny for us, Bob. Do you think Brett Hall will be down there or what?
I don't know.
I hope so.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Brett will be here. Maybe Ambassador of Fun, I guess, is as good a place as any to come, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just commonplace in Vegas.
Yeah, but
everyone's Brett Hall mode in Vegas.
They are.
Everyone we went Blues in Vegas.
Gloria! Gloria! I think I got your number! Gloria!
Yeah, we need more of that, I think.
Yeah.
We need the We Went Blues, too. Yeah.
Yes, as much as we can get. Can you take us through this goofy salary cap stuff, Bob? Like, what is going on here? Sure. Like, what are they doing here?
Well, they're not doing anything. I mean, the revenues aren't as great as they thought they were going to be. That's for starters. But right now, the salary cap for this past season has been at 79.5. The forecast that we got over the course of the season suggested that it would probably be up around 83 million, give or take a little bit. As we've gotten closer here, they started to downgrade it. Oh, I don't think it's going to be 83. It might be closer to 82. And what we're suddenly hearing is that it's going to be less than 82, and it might be as little as 81.5. But it's primarily a negotiation between the NHL and the NHLPA, but it's a negotiation that's based on hockey-related revenue and what the projections are. You know, every dollar that's hasn't been accounted for over the course of the season, so they have to estimate some numbers and what have you. But basically what they're saying is there hasn't been as much growth in the revenue as we would like. And while we thought it was going to be $83 million, it's now probably going to be closer to 81.5. The thing of it is the Players Association has the ability to inflate the salary cap if they so choose. And historically they always did that. They always threw the 5% inflator on there, and that helped keep new money in the system. It made sure that the guys that went to free agency on July 1, that that there were teams that were able to spend money on them. And they did that year after year after year. But what it's done is it was kind of an artificial inflator because it didn't match the revenues, and as such, the players end up having to pay back all that extra money in escrow. And we know that escrow is a hot-button topic in the negotiations, and the players hate it. And it's up 10, 11, 12%, whatever. And so there are players in the league who are saying, why are we inflating the salary cap to give the guys on July 1 fresh money in the system if we just, at the end of the year, we all have to write bigger checks to give it back to the owners? And the reason, the answer that historically has been, well, we did it for, you know, X number of years in a row for those free agent classes. Then how can we stop doing it now? But they did, in a manner of speaking, in the last 2 or 3 years, they've started to cut back the inflator. Instead of going the full 5%, it was a shade under 2%, I think, in each of the last 2 years. I'm not 100% positive on the numbers, so don't quote me on those. But they recognized, hey, we're just creating more problems for ourselves with higher escrow. So they did lower it. My understanding is that even with the normal, I think it was like 1.9 or 2%, inflator that they've used for the last couple of years, if they use that this year, the salary cap, when they announce it later this week, and they haven't determined it yet, but it could be 81.5, and that's only $2 million more than what it was this past season.
So how does that affect the Maple Leafs in particular? What do you think Dubas is going to be able to do here?
Well, it gives them less money to play around with. It makes things tighter, and it may make it more likely that you got to trade somebody. Or, you know, and again, it's all subject to Mitch Marner, too, and what he's going to get. And there's no news on that, and maybe there's not going to be any for a while here. So, it's, you know, Winnipeg, Toronto, anywhere where they've got to sign these restricted free agents. It's a problem because these players coming out of entry level, we've talked about it before. They're not. Patrick Laine is not saying, "Oh wow, Mark Scheifele and Blake Wheeler only make $6-8 million. I shouldn't make more than them. I'll take less." No, he wants those $9-10 million like everybody else.
Kevin Cheveldayoff makes a trade, I believe yesterday night, but he also said that there's never been more chatter between the managers than he's ever seen than recently. Is that what you're picking up on? Is it because of cap situation? Is it because expansion coming, or just combination of everything, Bob?
I think it's a combination of everything. I think, you know, I think what teams have realized too is if you don't like your team, well, then try to remake it. And you're certainly limited in some of that, but, you know, people saw what Doug Armstrong did. He traded for Brady Shen. He traded for Ryan O'Reilly. Got Tyler Bozak in free agency. That's unusual. Not many guys can win a cup doing that. It's an anomaly, probably. But nevertheless, there's, you know, the teams that did well have got to guard against complacency, and the teams that didn't do well have got to find a way to get better. And so I think everybody's looking at everything, and they're not, you know, it's one of those ones now where if you went to a general manager and said, "Who's an untouchable on your team?" you'd say there are none. You know, not to say I'm trying to trade many of these guys, but make me an offer and let's talk about it, because I've got to consider all my options here.
Bobby, do you really think that the Toronto Maple Leafs, sorry to bring it back to them, but I'm just hearing you talk about St. Louis, where they had a bunch of really good players who were $4 to $6 million players. Is it realistic to win with possibly three guys on your forward core making $11 million? Do you think that's possible?
Probably not, but it's going to be, you know, the St. Louis Blue model, if you want to call it that. I don't know if it's a model or whether they just, you know, fell into it. The Boston Bruins, you know, sooner or later, everybody's going to get that glass ceiling shattered. It's just a matter of time. If you draft good players and you develop good players and they're stars and they represent basically the future of your hockey club, you're screwed. I mean, you know, these guys want to get paid, and there's no mechanism to settle a dispute. There's no external mechanism to settle a dispute between Mitch Marner and the Toronto Maple Leafs other than him withholding his services or the Leafs giving him close to what he wants. That's really it. And you gotta kind of pick your poison. And that's why Nylander did as well as he did, and it's why Matthews did as well as he did. And it's why this problem is going to repeat itself in a lot of different cities. Colorado with Rantanen, and Calgary with Tkachuk, and Vancouver with Besser, and Point in Tampa Bay, and McAvoy in Boston, and Werenski in Columbus, and Meyer in San Jose, and, you know, obviously Laine and Connor in Winnipeg. It's just, it's everywhere.
Did they all wait for Marner, Bobby?
No, as I said before, if Marner signed for a lot, then they would say, "Yeah, I want what Marner got." And if Marner signed for a little, they'd say, "I don't care what Mitch Marner did." Same as Mitch Marner's good. If Mikko Rantanen, who excelled in pretty much every statistical category to Mitch Marner, I would think, the basic ones anyway, like goals and 6 points. If Mikko Rantanen signed tomorrow for $9 million with the Colorado Avalanche, you know what Mitch Marner's going to say about that? Who cares?
Yeah.
He's going to say, that's not my comparable. I choose my comparable. My comparable is Austin Matthews. Now pay me. And if you don't pay me, I'm not showing up for camp. And that's why it's hard. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When the NHL put the entry-level system in place and in the CBA, and they put restrictions on what guys could get, you know, the entry level, you only get paid X number of dollars, And when you come out of entry level, you only have certain rights. And one of them is not salary arbitration. And that was always initially viewed as what a huge win for the owners. There's no, these guys come out of entry level. They've got no salary arb. They've got no rights, basically. Basically, it's withhold services or sign your contract. So, you know, and everybody assumed that meant that these guys would be in a real tough spot. And the exact opposite has happened. These players have become so good, so fast, and meant so much to their teams all across the NHL, in Colorado, in Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, Winnipeg, you name it. All these entry-level bonus babies coming out now, they all want 8, 9, 10, 11 million bucks. And if there was salary arbitration, I think the clubs would be happy. I think the clubs would love it because they'd say, you're losing your blanket if I withhold my services. And there'd be a mechanism to settle it. And you would have to go with comparables. And Mitch Marner would have to say, they'd go to Arb and they'd say, Mark Stone, Nikita Kucherov, tell us why you think you should get more than 9.5. And he'd go, well, Austin Matthews. And they go, well, these are we got so many more comparables for you at 9.5. That's what you deserve. And if there was that mechanism, the clubs would be happy. And it was never supposed to be that way. I'm sure a lot of people would have assumed that salary arb is a tool that the players view as an asset and owners view as a liability more often than not. And yet it turned out to be exactly the opposite.
All right, Bob, enjoy it out there in Vegas. We'll do it again later in the week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
It's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider. Get your best bets brought to you by Proline, the Man of Steel as well, looking back on last night, probably from the parade. I've got one guy in particular I'm pointing to. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by Proline. I'm on Houston tonight, the Cubbies over the White Sox in Chicago, and under the number, Braves Mets. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with Proline. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Proline, get way into the game.
You're transitioning right into baseball now?
Well, that's pretty much what we got. Yeah, the CFL's going full bore.
It's a tough transition. You'd like your home team to be engaged, involved, rumors about acquisitions, intending, doing good things, but we do not have that luxury.
There will be rumors about players going out.
Yes, that will be happening. Like, I will get to a couple of ball games in the summer.
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know when.
Yeah.
Like the Raptors, again, I was lucky enough to be in the building for a few of the big games, and they took up a lot of the oxygen and the NBA playoffs in general and Stanley Cup playoffs. Now the dust settles. You're like, okay, I guess the Blue Jays are going and the Argos are up and running.
Like I said, Mike Trout, the best player in the world, is here.
Yeah, in town.
Was playing the Raptors, I'm sorry, the Blue Jays last night.
Beautiful weather, the dome's open. About 12,000 people.
And he put a clinic on, too.
Unbelievable. And I fully expect it to continue.
Yeah, I would expect the same thing. I'll be watching.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you're a sports fan, you're into it, but
you just tune it on.
You have it on in the background, like you say, but it's not good, right? Dialed into it that much.
No.
That's not good, eh?
No. You know what we got to get to later this week is a salad rebuild.
Yes, the full salad rebuild draft. The lottery draft.
Yeah.
We got to put the work in on that. We got to make sure that we can, because I got to go
is
back
like
in my
bracket?
Notes. And,
like, are we doing like?
No,
a,
I think it's just like in the NHL or
it's
in
a
the
lottery
NBA.
Draft.
Yeah, we'll have 15 helmets that are available for a full blown rebuild.
Yeah,
this scorched earth.
Yeah, and there'll be odds, and
we've got Jimmy
Benning's in there.
Jimmy Benning, Todd Reardon's in there. Tiger Woods is in there.
Tiger's
Shattenkirk,
in there.
Did he make it?
Yes,
I can't remember.
Shattenkirk is in there.
Yeah.
Strudwick.
By the way, LeBron, he got a haircut today. He had to post it on Insta, and he officially now has a full salad.
I know something's going on there.
He bought himself a salad.
Yeah.
Well.
It's not natural.
What's LeBron worth? $250 million?
Probably more than that. $500 million? I don't know.
I would tell, if I was him, I would say, you find out how I get a full head of hair next week. Because if you have that kind of money, you can get it.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a guy that will come and stitch hair into your skull.
Yeah.
Well, and you will look mint in one day. And he probably did that.
It's Strudwick's guy in Turkey. Mo, oh, they, remember?
LeBron's not flying there. He's flying Mo from Istanbul.
The guy from Istanbul is landing in L.A.
He got a haircut today, and he was so happy with it. And it's a full, brand new head of hair.
Oh, yeah. And it allows you to actually go get it cut. Like, he was at the barber, and he was
like a
right
dead squirrel.
It was being combed forward.
Yeah.
It looked like the 7T at Pebble Beach before that.
I got to check
just
it out.
Beaver pelts everywhere, and now it is dialed in.
Yep.
I don't
and golden.
Money.
He bought himself
a
hair.
It's a great hair.
He bought himself a new hairdo.
It's a great helmet.
Well, he's allowed to do that.
Of course he is. The Man of Steel brought to you by Steel. Quality product built to last, price to sell. Looking back on the parade yesterday, we were all down there. It was a long day. It was a day that no one's going to forget. Sadly, there were obviously some negative times and some things that took place that no one wanted to see take place. And it was hot, and it was a long day. And again, there were ups and downs, but overall it was a championship parade that no one will forget.
Yep.
Man of Steel, I'm going to give it to Marc Gasol.
Yeah,
who I think was so oiled they didn't let him get on the mic on stage.
My Man of Steel is Carlo Koliakovo.
Yes.
He was there at 5 a.m., and he left with us.
I couldn't believe he was still there.
Well, he may be asking.
He's a legend with his Geppetto Italian shoes on and his tight jeans.
He was.
He looked amazing, and he stayed until we left.
Did he ask for a day off? He might be.
I don't care if he did or not. I am not going anywhere near this building on Friday. I will be paddleboarding on Georgian Bay at Sunset Point.
Oh, look at Moles is nodding his head because he's probably got this Friday
off.
Of course.
Oh,
of course.
No, every Friday and Monday he's off.
You know I support a Friday off. Yeah.
Mullen's never here on Friday. I just assume he's not here.
You just assume that he's
gone. He takes every Friday.
Every once in a while I look back to him like, oh, there's Chrissy.
Yeah, there's Chris.
And there's Steve.
I'm going with Matt Devlin.
Yes, great call.
I thought he did a great job on the stage yesterday and even through thick and thin. Fantastic.
Well, that would have been
a bit of a tough gig.
Yeah, I mean, you're up on stage. You don't know what's going on. How would you know what's going on
at
Queen
and you
got
to deliver the news, too. It's like, everybody, please stay calm. Larry Tannenbaum.
You're cutting him off.
You're cutting him off in the middle of his speech.
Right.
Yeah, he did a good
say
job.
Everybody, and then everybody in the front's looking back. End of the day, it was a historic day.
But scary. There were times. It was scary at times.
It is.
It got
we're
going to
touch base on more of the parade, more about the raps, Kawhi, everything, and we're going to start tomorrow.
At 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.